streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to The Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for The Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour 2. It's The Herd live in Los Angeles. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Alex Curry's joining me. Joy Taylor off today. It's interesting. We are in the opinion business.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Our job is not to cover all the sports. That's not what we do. We're not a newspaper. We're not sports center. We have big, strong opinions on the biggest stories in our eyes of the day. Now, this is a very, very slow time of the year right now. Right? Like, this is the slowest 4 or 5 weeks. A little NBA stuff, some college football stuff, some NFL stuff. But, you know, I was thinking about something Brett Favre said a couple days ago. And what he said, I believe the opposite is true. And I don't think it's controversial. I think what he said would be more controversial. So Brett Favre came out and said, Devontae Adams is really going to miss Aaron Rodgers. And my takeaway is, no, that's not true at all. Devontae Adams is going to crush with Derek Carr and the Raiders. Aaron doesn't have a number one receiver on his team. Tampa's got like three. Rams got a couple. And so the opposite of what Brett Favre is true. Now, and I think a big component to this is Derek Carr. And it's got to become a running joke on the show. I think it's obvious he's a top 10 quarterback. Just like I thought it was obvious. I never once thought it was controversial to say that Baker Mayfield was not talented enough to be a number one pick. I always said he was a franchise quarterback. I wouldn't draft him as a franchise quarterback, but he is a franchise quarterback. But he's not a number one pick. His size, his arm, his athletic ability, even his personality, he's not a number one pick. I don't know how that became controversial. It's not controversial. He's not. He's not close to an elite quarterback, but he's good enough to start in the league. And I also don't think saying Derek Carr is a top 10 quarterback, it's amazing how much pushback I get on it. I think it's obvious. Now, is it as obvious as Mahomes or Josh Allen is a top 10 quarterback? No. But I think a lot of it is because we have to see things for them to be true. And his size is okay. His mobility is okay. His arm is good. It's not great. And we like something to be unbelievable. I think his unbelievable ability is fourth quarter comebacks. I think he's very cool, very collected. He leads the NFL in fourth quarter comebacks. He does, Derek Carr, surrounded by mayhem the last 7 years. So I thought this morning, I thought, you know, instead of just talking about this, and I always get all this pushback, I'm like, I would just tell you my top 10 quarterbacks in the league. I think it's fairly obvious. I haven't done this list, I don't think, in a long time, top 10 quarterbacks. I think Mahomes is the best. He has the highest passer rating in league history, and he's won Super Bowls. So, I mean, his come-from-behind game against Buffalo, that's very rare space. I think number two is actually more talented than him, but he hasn't won enough big games yet, Josh Allen. Highest passer rating in a single postseason last year. He's bigger than Mahomes. He's more mobile than Mahomes. I think he's a combination of Ben, Cam Newton, but better than both. Josh Allen's two. I'd put Brady at three out of respect. He did lead the NFL in passing yards and has since he joined the Bucs. I think he's the best pre-snap quarterback along with Peyton Manning in league history. Nobody is cooler late in games than Tom Brady. I'd put him three. Aaron Rodgers, four. Aaron's not very good in crisis. He doesn't have a lot of come-from-behind wins, considering how many years he's been in the league. But he's a back-to-back MVP. He looks different when he plays. He throws the most beautiful ball. He's wildly gifted. He's not great trailing late, and he's not great in big games. I'd put Russell Wilson, five. I think he's going to crush. And the other thing about Russell Wilson, he's the only quarterback in the last 4 years in the NFL with a passer rating over 100. That was with a defensive coach and a shaky offensive line and a shaky defense. And he's it. Number six and seven are Matt Stafford is number six. And I put him ahead of Joe Burrow, who he beat in the championship game. Stafford had 50 touchdown passes last year. And then Burrow is amazing. Burrow led the NFL in completion percentage and yards per attempt last year with a bad O-line. That is unbelievable. Number eight, Justin Herbert. In the history of the NFL, no quarterback has thrown for as many yards or as many touchdowns in their first 2 years. Again, his first year was with a terrible offensive line. So, and a defensive coach is for, well, no, a fired coach. So I'd put him eight. I put Kyler Murray nine, closest thing to Russell Wilson. He's gotten better every year, a total playmaker, one of the hardest guys to defend in the league. And then I would put 10 Derek Carr. And I'll just give you my Derek Carr numbers. Leads every quarterback in the NFL last 7 years. And this is with the Raiders and the shaky coaching and the chaos. And bad O-lines. Leads every quarterback with 30 game-winning drives since entering the league in 2014. He had the highest completion percentage among all quarterbacks in the league last 4 years. So he's the most accurate quarterback. And he's the only quarterback last year, top five in passer yards and completion. I don't think it's controversial. I think it's obvious. In fact, there's arguments to be made. You can put him in the 8-9 spot because he completely carried a team and beat Justin Herbert head-to-head in the game where the winner goes to the playoffs. Now, I think he's more mobile than Matt Ryan, who you could argue is number 11. He's more accurate than Dak Prescott, you could argue is number 11. He can play from behind. I don't know if Lamar Jackson can. And Kirk Cousins, to me, shrinks in big games. So that's why he's 10 and they're not. But I don't think it's that. I don't think it's... I mean, he moves better than Matt. He's more accurate than Dak. He's a prettier thrower of the football. That sort of matters. I think he plays brilliantly from behind. We don't know if Lamar does at this point. A lot of doubters on that. And Kirk Cousins has been the quarterback who we all think is talented but shrinks in big spots. Derek's the opposite. Leads the NFL in fourth quarter comeback since he entered the league. So there you go. And when I say it, it's like the Baker argument. I don't think it's that difficult. I don't think it's that controversial. When you can carry a team that is in utter chaos to the playoffs in a good division, I don't know. I thought all the doubters, I think just people just don't want to be wrong on it. And I think he went to Fresno State. And you didn't watch him in college. And he got hurt. And he hadn't made the playoffs a lot. And he doesn't jump off the screen with his size or his arm. Those are your 10 best in the sport. I don't think it's that arguable. I may have Stafford too low or Burrow too low. You can argue that. Herbert too high. That's your 10 best. Ethan Strauss is the host of the Warriors NBA podcast called House of Strauss. He covered him for years. He wrote The Victory Machine, The Making and Unmaking of the Warriors Dynasty. So when you read these stories about KD to the Warriors, and I said yesterday, listen, if I could steal him, if it was Wiseman and Wiggin for KD, I'd take him. But you know this organization well. You and KD had your battles. Are you rolling your eyes at these reports, or do you think there's something, Ethan, to them?
I'm not rolling my eyes at the reports, right? Because a lot of people did that in 2016, if you remember. It just seemed like it was too decadent for KD to come to the Warriors, just like it is now. But I'll tell you what's funny about it, Colin. This is the one situation in basketball where it would represent a maximizing from both sides of winning a title, and yet none of us think it will happen. Every other situation, we're thinking about how do the Lakers maximize their chance of winning a title? How do the Nets maximize their chance of winning a title from both sides? How does LeBron get a title? This is the one situation where we look at it and we go, this is probably the best path for KD winning another title. It's probably the best path for the Warriors. It always worked when he was on the court with them until he got hurt. And yet, Colin, it just feels like getting remarried to your second wife. It's awkward. It's weird. Nobody wants it. It's not good show business. And those factors seem like they outweigh the factors of winning a title. As much as we say it's all about winning a title, some titles matter more than others.
You know, when he decides, I said this, there are franchise players that you would build around. Giannis, Magic, Bird, Steph Curry. There's a personality, Tim Duncan, D-Wade. And it's not always just talent. It usually is. And then there are guys that I would call franchise enhancers. Kawhi Leonard, AD, Kevin Durant. Is that they're flighty, they're impulsive, they're often not, they keep things to themselves. I don't trust that I can build around them. I think KD, by leaving the Nets abruptly, he's becoming a little Kawhi Leonard to me. Is that unfair?
I don't think it's unfair, but we should remember that that's most superstars in the NBA now. I mean, there's one guy. There's, if you want to be really in control of your basketball team, your organization will have had to have drafted Steph Curry in 2009. And maybe Giannis, right? Maybe Jokic. But for the most part, these superstars want what they want. They're not loyal to any situation. And it's really funny, Colin, to see Joe Tsai, the owner of the Nets, throw this tantrum, put his foot down, say, no, I don't want Kyrie. Well, what happens? Then KD wants out and he has to cater to KD. KD kind of called his bluff. You know, none of these owners are in control. It speaks to something about the NBA that a lot of fans don't like. And some fans like, which is that it's a players' league. The players are in control. They are your boss. And you just have to hope you have a once-in-a-generation superstar like a Steph Curry or a Tim Duncan, because then you can build around. Then you're allowed to do your job. Otherwise, your job is just placating the superstar, and that's how it goes.
You know the Warriors very well. And we've said there's an argument they lost Gary Payton, who was a very valuable, versatile defender. Otto Porter, that's fine. That's not going to be a deal breaker. Generally, I am a believer that even if you win a championship, the Rams, for instance, they win a championship, they move off Robert Woods. They get Allen Robinson. They feel that's an upgrade at wide receiver. They get Bobby Wagner. They are not going to stand pat. They are going to make moves. And so with the Warriors, do you think in deep in the reservoir of Bob Myers and Steve Kerr, are they sitting there thinking, listen, we got a little lucky, Kawhi got hurt, AD LeBron got hurt, or do you believe right now Kerr and Bob Myers think, we don't need KD, we should be an overwhelming favorite next year?
It's a great question. I don't know if Steve Kerr wants to go another round or two with KD. That was a story that had really run out between those two. He was taking shot after shot at Steve Kerr in those press conferences, mocking the idea of playing with joy, saying sarcastically, oh, we're supposed to play with joy. He was completely trying to subvert whatever Kerr was doing towards the end. So even if, and he would never say it publicly, but even if that would give the Warriors an edge, there's something called the iron law of institutions, Colin, and we see it in sports all the time, which is that people care more about their power within an organization than the power and effectiveness of the organization. Nobody admits it, but we're all built that way. So I don't see Kerr wanting this, even if it might give the Warriors an edge. And if he can tell himself that the Warriors can win without KD, then I just think he just wouldn't want that. And then you also have to remember, Colin, the Warriors really prioritize building from within with these draft picks. It's the VC mentality. We get something that nobody else wants or doesn't have that much value. We get it on the cheap. We build. So, yes, it's hard. They might be losing some guys they need, but I think the mentality from Joe Lacob, the owner, is we've got Moody, we've got Kuminga. It's next guy up. It's next generation. Let's go. And that's why they're saying goodbye to maybe some of these role players who have helped them win a championship.
Draymond Green has obviously been good for my business, the podcast business, and I love him, and he's great. But it was interesting. He did get a lot of pushback during the finals and the playoffs for doing a podcast, even though I thought it was silly. That's my view. Do you think that ever, you know, after a loss and Draymond, because we had teams saying they would listen to Draymond's podcast. They were listening to it and listening to it for clues on what the Warriors were going to do. Do you think anybody in the walls of the Warriors was uncomfortable with Draymond's public podcasting assertions and proclamations during the run?
Oh, certainly. But nothing succeeds like success. I mean, that's what's so great. That's why your guy is on a world tour and he's telling everybody to eat it, is because he knows that they were all waiting with the knives out to crush him if the Warriors lost while he was podcasting and devoting so much time to podcasting. But what do we do, Colin? We play the result in sports. We say, I know you shouldn't have gone for it on fourth down or whatever. We just wait for the result and we judge you on the basis of it. I think it's great for him. It's great for you that he has proven, he has broken the podcasting barrier, Colin, and shown that you can win a championship while having a second job in this way. I don't think the Warriors wanted it. I don't think it's what they really were cheering on. But hey, he was amazing in those last two games. He was essential. And hey, it's the story of Draymond and the Warriors. He might drive them crazy, but in the end, he's worth it.
You know, I said this. The NBA playoffs ratings were pretty solid. The finals were a mess. I don't particularly know why. Celtics and Warriors, I thought, were likable. They're good brands. Some of it, I thought, was America had been locked inside during COVID. The minute kids got out of school in late May, parents just left. You couldn't get on a plane. Hotels were full. Now, that's my interpretation of why the ratings went down. But you've been on this for years and years. Is that, and sometimes you've talked about this, and it makes NBA people uncomfortable. The NBA's got a ratings issue. And it's not good. College football, NFL, baseball's had a bit of a renaissance. USFL, actually, for year one, beat actually occasionally an NBA game. Hockey. What do you make of the disastrous rating finals? Because I love the finals. But again, I live in my bubble. That doesn't mean America viewed it. Do you think the league cares about it? How do you explain it?
Oh, the league deeply cares about it. You know that. They yell at you. And hey, to be clear, the league is going to make a lot more money. When they sign the next TV deal, it will be for a lot more than the last one. But if they were going gangbusters, if they were growing in viewership, then that would be tens of billions of dollars extra into their coffers. So they definitely care. What do I make of the ratings being solid up until the finals? What I make is this. I think the NBA diehard has not left, so they have a certain floor. But the casual, so many casual fans have abandoned them, because you have a dream matchup right there of the Warriors versus the Celtics.
Yeah.
And it's about half of what you would get for Warriors versus Cavs in 2016, 2017, maybe a little bit more than half. And it's a combination of factors. One of the factors we're seeing, which is that Kevin Durant says, you know what, let me out of here. You know, I chose all my teammates. I chose my coach. I chose my whole situation. I don't want it. I'm gone. I'm loyal to nothing. Fans see that. They're not into it. The load management, I think, has warded some people away. And then this is the one that's the most fraught, even though to me it's the most obvious. It's the one people don't want to admit, which is, yes, the politics.
Yeah.
Even when people agree with the politics, they don't necessarily want it. There was that horrific shooting before the NBA Finals, and much of the ESPN leading coverage was about that. That's something where if you have a certain politics, you're offended by it. And also, even if you agree with the messaging, maybe it's not what you want to be thinking about when you're getting ready for the NBA Finals. Yes, that is also a factor in what has happened, I believe.
Yeah, well, a lot of people think sports is an escape. It isn't for me, but it is for a lot of people. They want to go, whether it's to the movie theater, to an NBA or NFL game, and they want to get out of the bad news. They want to get into the fun. Ethan Strauss has a podcast, House of Strauss. I think it's as good as any podcast on the market. It's great seeing you again, my friend. We'll talk soon.
Anytime, Colin. Love to do it.
You bet. It was interesting because generally I always feel outside of the home run derby in baseball and the Pro Bowl in the NFL, which I don't care about at all, and America loves them, I kind of feel like if I like it, you like it. If it's the Masters and it's a great Sunday I'm watching, you're watching. NFL, big college games. March Madness, by the way, had fantastic ratings. And the quality of college basketball isn't nearly as good as the quality of NBA basketball. So it's interesting. If you look at pro and college sports, the pro sport always beats the college sport. NHL, Stanley Cup crushes college hockey. NFL beats college football 4-1. Baseball, Major League Baseball trumps easily the World Series, the College World Series. And then in basketball, it's different. March Madness gets consistently, this year, bigger numbers than a lot of NBA playoff games. So what is the rub? Is it politics? Is it the COVID people? The NBA season goes later now. So when your kids are out of school, a lot of parents don't care. They were trapped for 2 years. They got in their cars, on a train, on a plane, and they left. And how do I know that? Because the travel business, despite the fact we're in what many believe is a recession, is exploding. It's exploding in Europe. It's exploding in America. Hotels, flights, you can't get them. You can't book them. So I don't have the answer for a lot of this stuff, but I think the question's always interesting.
I think what's at stake is also there, too. March Madness, one and done. Everything's on the line that one game. And then you're watching these NBA long playoff series. Not every game matters as much as the next. And we saw in a lot of these games, it was either a really close game or it was a blowout by halftime. And it was just like, okay, well, I'm going to leave now.
Yeah, the three-point shot. It's funny about analytics. I don't think it's helped baseball. It's home runs or strikeouts. I do not think analytics has helped baseball. I do not think it's helped the NBA. It is a three-point shooting contest. I think people like dunks and they like situational basketball and they like mid-range jumpers. And too often the sport is just walk up and launch a three. It's not aesthetically very appealing. The NFL has been very fortunate in that I think analytics has helped the sport. Less punting. More going for it on fourth down now. Like you're mocked if you don't go on fourth down. You're like an old dinosaur coach. So I think sometimes analytics can help you. Sometimes analytics can hurt you. And I think the NFL is fortunate that it's made their game more daring. Fewer punts. More fourth downs. More going for two. That makes the game more exciting. Baseball, basketball, I don't think have been served nearly as well by analytics.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on.
Get ready for a ride.
We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rocked the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. LeBron James.
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Saturday, it's baseball night in America on Fox. Aaron Judge looks to continue his MVP season as he leads the Yankees against the rival Red Sox, or the Giants battle the Padres. It all begins at 7 Eastern on Fox. Check for the game in your area.
Good stuff. Dan Wetzel, there's a unbelievable story out how fast this Big Ten thing is working and what's happening to the Pac-12. Wow, it is lightning fast. We'll get to that in a little bit. Here is Alex with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, the Nets are not rushing to trade Kevin Durant and are reportedly exploring all of their options to get the best deal. Now, the Suns have been one of the top teams mentioned as a potential landing spot for KD. And according to Fox Bet, they have the best odds to get him at plus 200. Then you have the Raptors at plus 350, 76ers plus 750. The Warriors are down at 8th. I know we've been talking a lot about that today.
Yeah.
At plus 2200.
Well, the Suns make so much sense.
So much sense.
Because the Nets get fun foundational pieces in return. And what I like about the Suns is Chris Paul's the leader of the franchise.
Yes.
He's the most verbal guy. He loves that. He embraces that totally. And Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, they just want to hoop. So, listen, if he landed on the Suns today, you would have to put the Suns in the top three or four in the NBA with the Celtics, with the Bucks, with the Warriors and the Suns. So he absolutely enhances their chances. And the Phoenix would not ask him to do what he appears to be not interested in doing, which is being the go-to verbal guy. And that's not, you know, Kevin acknowledges, I want a ball. Phoenix is a place he can go. The Nets get good pieces.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I would mortgage some of my future if I was Phoenix. We've never won a title. We've gotten close. I would mortgage some of my future for Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and KD.
Yeah, and as you mentioned, Chris Paul is the verbal leader, but as we saw in this last playoffs, he's not that missing piece that can get them over that championship hump. Get them there.
You feel like with Phoenix, every time they play a great team, they don't have the best player on the floor. If they play the Warriors, it's Steph.
Mm-hmm.
If they play Milwaukee, it's Giannis. If they play the Clippers, it would be Kawhi. If they play the Pelicans again, you could argue, depending on his health, it would be Zion. If they play Memphis, it would be Ja. If they played Minnesota, if they played Dallas, it would be Luka.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it always feels like Phoenix, as well constructed as they are, when they play the best teams, they never have the best player.
No.
And that historically, that was the difference between the Celtics and the Warriors. Steph was more consistently the best player on the floor. Jason Tatum was often the second best Celtic to Jaylen Brown.
Big fan of Chris Paul, but he only scored 20 or more points in one of those games against the Mavs. And in two of those games, single, only scored 9 and 5. So it's you need that missing piece, as you said, makes the most sense. All right, moving on. The Jazz made a big trade sending Rudy Gobert to the Timberwolves. They got multiple first-round picks in the deal, laying the foundation for a rebuild. Now, Donovan Mitchell was thought to be the next player on the move, but the Jazz aren't planning to let him go just yet. Utah has reportedly shut down any team that has called about Mitchell and insisting that they will rebuild their roster around him. Now, when you're in a rebuild, nothing's off the table. And isn't this what you would want to say if you want to bring up his value a little bit?
Well, here's, I was thinking about this yesterday as I talked about it. So Danny Ainge, when he rebuilt the Celtics, they didn't bottom out. They were actually a decent basketball team. And I was sitting there, we were talking yesterday about Gobert, and obviously Danny Ainge thought, I'm not going to pay Rudy Gobert what I would pay a star player. He's not good enough offensively. And Joe Ingles was getting expensive. So with Gobert, you get 5 picks. Danny wants to rebuild, but Donovan's their best player. Mm-hmm. He's an all-star level player. Is it possible that Danny Ainge is going to rebuild? He's just going to keep this one piece. Because, I mean, it's been proven in the NBA. Boston did it. You don't have to be awful before you get to a finals. You can rebuild on draft picks. You hit a couple of draft picks. You get the right coach. So, and I'm not saying this from an insider's perspective, but I did think about this yesterday, is are we sure they're going to blow it all up? I mean, can you find Donovan Mitchell on the market? There's not a lot of Donovan Mitchell out there. Rudy Gobert for that price? Mm-hmm. Could I get 70% of a shot blocking rim protector without paying that kind of money? Plus, Minnesota gave you 5 picks. You have to make that deal.
Yeah, that was an unbelievable deal for Rudy Gobert.
That's a once in a franchise deal.
Oh, yeah.
You can't duplicate that.
No way. I personally think he's doing it to gain leverage, maybe drive up the price a little bit, but you think he's going to stay?
Well, I don't know. I'm not saying it from a place of knowledge.
Yeah.
But Danny Ainge's history is, I want to be, it's hard to find players as good as Donovan Mitchell in the NBA. Think of all of Danny Ainge's draft picks.
Mm-hmm.
Jason's a star. Jaylen Brown is considered a really good player, and Marcus Smart's good on defense. All those picks, a lot of them didn't work. A couple of his big moves, Kyrie didn't work. Gordon Hayward didn't work. So, I mean, your percentage in the NFL, it's different because I have at least 3 years of tape.
Yeah.
Sometimes 4 years of tape.
Mm-hmm.
In the NBA, you don't want to have, I had an NFL GM tell me this.
Mm-hmm.
Not long ago. He said, I don't want to give you a star and get 6 draft picks. I'm going to miss on 3 of those. You're guessing by the 4th round, right? It's just projection. So my takeaway is, I love once you get 5 picks for Rudy Gobert,
yeah,
what do I need more picks for?
It's true.
I need a good player, and I don't think there's a lot of Donovan Mitchells out there. We'll see.
It's a good point. All right, switching gears. Baker Mayfield is still waiting for a trade from the Browns, but no deal seems to be on the horizon. There have been plenty of rumors of potential trade destinations for him. The Panthers and the Seahawks have been two of the teams mentioned the most, but now the Browns are in a holding pattern with Deshaun Watson. We're all waiting to hear the outcome of that. There's talk that staying in Cleveland could be Baker's best option if Deshaun is out for a while. Now, remember, NFL training camp, people are reporting in 2 to 3 weeks, veteran date for Browns is July 26th. I still think Cleveland is the best landing spot for Baker Mayfield. Yes, he would have to swallow a lot of pride.
A lot.
A lot of pride, but he did not have a great ending there. He could kind of get a little bit of redemption and build a market back up for himself. Because obviously right now, no one's wanting you. No one's coming after you. There's no market right now. Create a market for yourself again. Fans are going to be more receptive because of the whole Deshaun Watson situation.
Alex with the news. Good stuff.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Woj at ESPN reports today the Lakers have not put in an aggressive bid for Kyrie Irving yet. The truth is the Lakers are probably negotiating against themselves. And, you know, the old law of the land is don't negotiate against yourself. Slow play it. Be stubborn. So two things. Kyrie wants to play in L.A. We know that to be true. and Kyrie's got the kind of personality and has talked about retirement, if you traded him to a team he didn't like, he may just close up shop. And everybody in the league knows that. So the Lakers also have a couple of things going for them. They have LeBron and AD. They have two stars. They're not star desperate. Like a third of the teams in this league like don't even have one star. The Lakers have two. Be that as it may, they get hurt. They're not always available. They got two stars. Second of all, the Lakers brand in Los Angeles is powerful. They could keep Westbrook for another year. It's not like nobody's going to show up. You know, they got LeBron. It's the Laker brand. It's very powerful. A lot of season tickets, so they could slow play it. You know, the other thing to think about is with the Anthony Davis deal, everybody looks at it as a big win with Anthony Davis because they got a championship. Well, if you get a championship in Phoenix, it would be worth a mess after. But the Lakers are a mess after, and they've got a bunch of championships. So they gave away too much for Anthony Davis. They gave away three firsts, Brandon Ingram, who's become an all-star, Josh Hart, Lonzo Ball, and it's why, frankly, the Pelicans are so viable right now. They got a lot in return. So I would say this. Tell me outside of the Lakers where Kyrie Irving works. Let's start with nowhere and go from there. So if I'm the Lakers, I slow play it. Woj is saying there's not a deal on the table. But, you know, Kyrie checks a lot of those bad boxes, which is he's toxic. He's impulsive. He's unpredictable. He's not available. He gets hurt. Now, he has not declined. That's the one thing I'll defend Kyrie. He is still an absolutely doesn't need a screen, doesn't need help. He'll get a great shot. Most guys in the NBA, even the great players, need a screen to get a great shot. Kyrie does not. He is just absolutely incredible, but he doesn't fit because he's a lot of bad boxes. So I think you slow play it and see what pans out. Yeah, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if nobody bid on him, and the Brooklyn Nets are stubborn. But my guess is they're going to make a deal with Phoenix for KD, and after they get that deal, they won't be as stubborn, and they'll probably take what they can get, which is Westbrook's expiring contract and maybe a draft pick.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Mic check. Mic check.
If you want exclusive insight from the biggest names in the sports game, what's good? This is national champion and former pro baller Chris Johnson. Let me tell you a little bit about my new series, KJ Live.
KJ Live is the only show featuring me going one-on-one with the brightest basketball minds on the planet to get the real.
And when I say real, I mean that real. I got legendary Hall of Famers, elite coaches, and the top basketball insiders bringing you a unique perspective on all things hoops culture that you will not find anywhere else.
So make your next move your best move.
And tap in with me on KJ Live, wherever you get your podcast from.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
Click, click, put your seatbelts on, get ready for a ride. We're gonna have some fun.
We'll explore and listen to the sounds of awesome places like farms, racetracks, and even construction sites.
Follow your ears, what do you hear?
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
They'll teach us awesome new things about the places and things we see and hear.
What did we learn today?
Learning is so cool.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip Podcasts on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am, like I am, where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, he's written a lot of books about college football. He's a national columnist for almost 20 years with Yahoo Sports. He and Pat Forty do a college football podcast called College Football Inquirer, and there has been a tsunami of activity in a sport I absolutely love. So, Dan, first of all, thanks for coming on the show. And let's start with this, that I would argue this morning that Notre Dame is the only big national brand left in America, not in either the SEC or the Big Ten. I think Clemson tends to feel regional. So does Florida State. So does Oregon, although they're terrific, terrific programs. But big Bama, Ohio State, Michigan, USC. That's what it feels like to me. Right or am I right or wrong on that?
I think the ACC still got a few pieces. Clemson's much bigger now. Miami, Florida State can still do it. But you're mostly right. This is very, very quickly becoming the Big Two.
Yeah.
Not the Power Five.
Yeah. Dan, I read a story this morning, a tweet actually. Is the Big 12 is acting quickly, and they want to gobble up the Arizona schools. They want to gobble up Oregon, Washington. What is the Pac-12 if that happens?
Pac-12's dead if anybody else deserts. So the Big 12 is trying to get what they can out of it. They would take them all and figure it out. Or I think what they really expect is that maybe they can get the two Arizona schools, Utah and Colorado, and sell them on the idea this is a better fit. Oregon and Washington are going to jump the moment they can jump. And so even if you get them for 5 years or 6 years during some kind of TV deal, you know that the time is ticking where they're going to try to get out. So the Pac-12 announced today they're going to immediately start negotiating their next college, their next television deal in an effort to kind of lock all 10 schools in and potentially add, you know, a San Diego State or a Boise, but I don't know if that's going to work. Certainly the Pac-12 would be busted up, and quite incredibly, a league that dates back to 1913 could be essentially finished after 2024. So perilous, perilous times for sports on the West Coast.
How do you think USC, UCLA work in the Big Ten? What's your takeaway? Some worry about the weather, the time. I don't think the schedule's that daunting for the football teams. It could be for Olympic sports, but what did you make of it going forward?
You know, it's just a moment where these schools said, you know, we're bringing way too much value to our conference. We have to get in the Big Two, and this is it. This is our shot. It fits better than going to the SEC. The travel's a little bit easier, and I think they'll do fine in football. I think it in basketball as well, but I think the you know, if you're UCLA baseball right now, this is a, you know, it's a terrible thing, but they don't care about baseball. Yeah. Nobody cares about anything but the football money. And the amount of money they can get in the Big Ten will be $50, $60 million more than the Pac-12
right.
per year. And yeah. so, you know, over 4 years, that's $250 million up to. So you have to kind of do it at that point. I wish they didn't, but this is all business. This was the best option. It's either that or go to the SEC for UCLA and USC to get in with all the really good academic schools of the Big Ten, to get in with a lot of schools that are kind of like-minded. As weird as it seems, it was sort of a move they had to make.
Yeah, Big Ten's a really good academic conference. What do you make of Notre Dame, Dan, going forward?
Well, they want to be independent. They want to maintain their independence. Certainly the amount of money the Big Ten and SEC will get will dwarf what they have. That is a less of a concern at Notre Dame for the people I talk to. Notre Dame has a little smaller athletic department than, say, Ohio State or Michigan. It's about $150 million, not $210 or something like that, which is significant. Notre Dame has money. No one has ever been on their campus and said, boy, these guys are broke. They painted the dome gold. Okay, so they got money. Their concern is access to the playoff.
Yeah.
If you don't have access to the playoff, recruiting is drying up and you're done as a major thing. So if it gets to the point where you essentially have to be in a conference, particularly one of two conferences, to play in this playoff, then Notre Dame's going to have to join. They were big proponents of the playoff plan that got rejected in January that essentially would have assured them a path to the postseason going forward when their teams are good. And that would have maintained their independence forever. But for them, number one thing is access to the playoff. That keeps them as a major brand. But they prefer independence. If they get backed into some kind of corner with the playoff, they'll go to the Big Ten.
Let me be glass half full guy. There's a 7-year ratings and attendance decline in the sport that it needs a B12 shot. It needs more good games. And I've said this. First, Labor Day weekend has 95 games, and there's two I have to watch. Notre Dame, Ohio State, Oregon, Georgia. Following weekend, there's 95 or so games. I have to watch one game, Texas, Bama. USC and UCLA to the Big Ten, and Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC. Dan, that gives me so many fascinating games. And as a consumer, I don't care about the 76 Rose Bowl. I mean, that's part of me that thinks the sport's got a big game problem. There's too many blowouts and lopsided affairs.
Yeah, I mean, look, the sport struggles to get games over 8 million, even 4 million, which is kind of the mark television talks about as a big-time college football game, 4 million viewers. That's a paltry number for the NFL. So to get to 10 million, you're talking maybe a couple a year, an Ohio State, Michigan, a Notre Dame, Clemson, a LSU, Alabama, SEC title game. To get more of those certainly has the appeal. I think if you're a casual football fan, I can see where this makes a lot of sense. I don't need all these easy games. I don't need the non-conference games that don't matter. Play 9 league games. Let's organize this. However, I think if you're a more hardcore fan of college football in general, you don't have to love the 72 Blue Bonnet Bowl or something like that, but you can really appreciate that, you know, college football matters at Wazoo. I like having Boise State out there. I like knowing that when, Arizona and Arizona State are playing and the game matters. There's a lot of heat. There's rivalries. You want the entire circus of the 130 schools playing for one championship. So it's sort of a mix. But I think if you're more of someone like, I only want to watch the big games, this is probably better for you and you could go half full. If you like the sport at all and the unique nature of it, though, this is tough because even though, you know, look, these schools will make more money. Great. You're going to get $70 million, $100 million a year from TV. None of that is going to, like, lower tuition or the tickets or anything like that. It's not going to help anybody. It just means there's a lot more buyout money for coaches and things like that.
Dan Wetzel, columnist, Yahoo Sports for almost 20 years, podcast with Pat, 42 Smart Guys. Great seeing you. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Colin. Talk to you soon.
You bet, Dan Wetzel. Yeah, I think for the diehard, you know, it's funny because I didn't grow up in a, you know, child of divorce. I didn't have this traditional family. I mean, I did live in the same house for, you know, like 18 years, same high school. But I've moved around the country, so I'm not as beholden, and it's not always good. I'm not as beholden to this, you know, tradition, and 40% of America never leaves the area code they grew up in. And that's okay. That's not me. So to me, I just want more good games. And that's what Texas, Oklahoma to the SEC is. And that's what USC, UCLA, and potentially Notre Dame is to the Big Ten. It's just more great games on a Saturday. Entertain me. I'm selfish. Entertain me. So is our schools going to be lost in this? Washington State, Oregon State, Colorado maybe? Maybe. But the story out today, the Big 12, the remaining schools, are quickly saying, get us the Arizona schools. It's in our geographical footprint because Arizona schools recruit Texas. Get us Colorado. Get us Utah. Those would be very natural fits. And those are, you know, Utah's a great college football program, terrific program. So, you know I drive people nuts because, they, you know, oh, you're a casual. I've said this from day one. Love your life like your sports. Love your life. There's a lot of life out there. I like my sports, but they're changing all the time. I don't root for laundry. Guys move. I've moved. I'm okay with it. I understand if you grew up in Boston, you live in Boston, Celtics for 40 years, you go to Fenway, you go to Martha's Vineyard in the summer, the Cape. I get it. That's not me. So to me, I want whatever's the most interesting, and that often means, you know, blowing stuff up, starting over, and mobility and all that. CFOs that get it, CFOs that don't, go to netsuite.com/herd, one-of-a-kind financing. There's a downside to mobility. There's no question about that. I'll talk about that around the corner. Hour three next, live in L.A., it's The Herd.
Hey, it's me, Blippi, and this is my best friend, Mika.
Hi, I'm Mika, and this is our brand new podcast,
Blippi and Mika's Road Trip. The Blippi-mobile will take us to amazing places.
And we'll meet new friends along the way.
Listen to Blippi and Mika's Road Trip podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.